This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Sharing a good book is almost human nature, but the way we do it is changing. In a moment, we'll take a look at the future of book sharing inside a library or out in the community. But first, an update on healthcare. After a lot of back and forth about the Republican plan to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the Senate has voted to begin debate on a bill. It remains to be seen whether repeal and replace is still going forward or whether the bill would repeal now and replace later. Let's discuss it with Julie Rovner, a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News and the author of Healthcare Policy and Politics A to Z. Julie, welcome back to 1A.
Thanks for having me.
How are you holding up in terms of following all this?
It's complicated, but I have done this before, so I think I can probably do it again.
Tell us where this stands right now. It seems like today is just time for floor debate, speeches, and some of the political rhetoric behind all this.
There's some voting going on. The Senate is in the midst of 20 hours of debate on what's called budget reconciliation. This is a process that they're using that enables them to theoretically pass a bill with only Republican votes. But there's only 52 Republicans, and they need 50 of them to agree on something. Vice President Pence could break a tie, which is what happened yesterday. And so they're basically going through all of their options. At this point, though, we have not seen an option that appears to have 50 votes. There's some thought that they're trying to write something during the debate that they might hope to get. What happens at the end of the 20 hours is that they go into something called Votorama, and that's when basically any amendments can be voted on until they get too tired. They don't get to go home at night the way they do when they're doing this 20 hours of debate. They went home last night, the clock stopped. Once Votorama starts, the clock goes until they get exhausted. So sometimes it takes 12 hours, sometimes it takes 18 hours. I think the longest Votorama was like 30 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I was kind of wondering about that vote in which Vice President Mike Pence broke the tie to just begin considering this. And we've gone back and forth between the bill being alive to being dead to being alive again to 100% dead again to now there's a new lease on life. What is your sense of whether or not the Republicans are coalescing around a bill as opposed to still trying to brainstorm this on the floor of the Senate?
I don't see any bill that they're coalescing around. I think the way they got 50 votes to start the debate was that there were sort of two competing bills, and there were enough people who were for one or the other that they were able to say, at least let's get out on the floor. The problem is we already saw last night the first bill, the big bill, really, that Senator McConnell's been trying to put together for weeks, didn't even get 50 votes. It actually, for procedural reasons, needed 60, and it only got 43. So today, they're basically debating the other big alternative, which is the what was called at the beginning of the year repeal and delay, which would repeal big chunks of the Affordable Care Act, and it wouldn't replace them with anything, but a lot of it wouldn't take effect for 2 years, so they'd have time to come up with something. But I should point out that some of it would take effect right away, like eliminating the individual mandate. And so there are people in the industry calling this the death spiral bill, that it would leave all of the regulations intact, but no requirement for anybody to have insurance. And the result would be that likely a lot of insurers would simply drop out, more than we're seeing drop out now.
Now, we had heard from recent analyses that tens of millions of Americans could lose their coverage under the Republican plans that are before before Congress right now, including largely millions of Americans who are on Medicaid. The pieces of these bills that are up for consideration now, would those still cause those millions of people to lose coverage, the individual mandate piece and others? Is that connected to the loss of coverage?
It is. And the big difference between the bill that got voted on last night that didn't get 50 votes was that it would have not only eliminated the expansion of Medicaid that was in the Affordable Care Act, but it would have capped the underlying Medicaid program. Now, they put a whole bunch of money back in to try and bring over some of the moderates. But even, you know, if you make a $700 billion cut and you put $100 billion back in, that's still a $600 billion cut. So it was really hard. The repeal and delay bill, the one that says we'll repeal some of it and give ourselves 2 years to figure out what to do, that only repeals the Medicaid expansion. It did not cap the underlying program.
We are speaking to Julie Rovner, senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News, about the ongoing Senate debate over repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. We're only discussing it for this segment of the program before we move on. We'll have much more to say about health care for sure in the weeks and months to come. But if you want to be part of this conversation, do contact us right away. Email 1A at WAMU.org, comment on our Facebook page, or tweet us at 1A. R.K. Gruters tweeted, repeal, do not replace. In fact, repeal all federal involvement in health care. Andy wrote on our Facebook page, one party controls all branches of the federal government and cannot come up with an alternative to our national health care other than, if you're poor and sick, then you should die. It's a disgrace. At least President Obama accomplished giving the poor a path to health care. There was also some criticism about the way this is being done from Arizona Republican Senator John McCain, who came back after having surgery and a very dire medical diagnosis to be part of this vote. Here is a piece of what he said on the Senate floor, excoriating his own party for the way they've gone about this.
We Republicans have looked for a way to end it and replace it with something else without paying a terrible political price. We haven't found it yet, and I'm not sure we will. All we've managed to do is make more popular a policy that wasn't very popular when we started trying to get rid of it. We've tried to do this by coming up with a proposal behind closed doors in consultation with the administration, then springing it on skeptical members, trying to convince them that it's better than nothing. That it's better than nothing? Asking us to swallow our doubts and force it past a unified opposition. I don't think that's going to work in the end, and probably shouldn't.
That's Senator John McCain speaking yesterday on the floor of the Senate. In response to that, Glenn in Reston, Virginia writes, John McCain is a hypocrite. He complained about the lack of bipartisanship in the Senate, but refused to join Democrats in crafting the ACA. The ACA is far from perfect, but it was at least a half step better than what we had before. Any repeal would make things at least one step worse. If he really believes in bipartisanship, he should have started by telling Senator McConnell that he would absolutely oppose any bill that didn't arrive via regular order, meaning the regular committee process of drafting a bill. Julie Rovner, how is Senator McCain's comment playing in the Senate right now?
I don't know how it's playing in the Senate, but with the public, it's playing curiously. You know, it's all very ironic. Had John McCain just not showed up yesterday, had he stayed home in Arizona where he's been getting cancer treatment, the bill would have failed to come to the floor. There were two no votes, and without him, they only would have had 49. So he comes in, he voted for it. He casts the vote that puts it over the top, and then he excoriates the process that he just voted for. He said during that vote that he would not vote for the current version that had been put together behind closed doors, as he said. But then last night, he voted for it. This morning, his office is saying that, well, it was a procedural vote, but pretty much everything in this budget reconciliation process is a procedural vote. So it's kind of hard to say, well, he wasn't for that because he voted to waive the Budget Act to allow it to happen.
Munsing Law tweeted, healthcare is 17.8% of the GDP. Why are corporate leaders so silent about Congress trying to upend a highly complex chunk of the economy? First of all, is that GDP figure accurate?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's basically a sixth of the economy moving towards a fifth of the economy.
So what about that idea about corporate America's involvement in this?
Well, the healthcare industry has been extremely loud and extremely negative, including the health insurance industry on most versions of this bill. They are horrified at sort of the idea that so much federal money basically would be pulled out of healthcare that's already there. It's not a question of whether to add to it. The business community has sort of mixed feelings. One thing that's important to remember, this entire effort is talking about who pays for coverage. It's not talking about how much healthcare costs, how much we spend on it. It's basically trying to decide how to divide up the pie rather than how big the pie should be. That's a debate that everybody agrees that we as a nation need to be having. It's just we're not.
Chip in Richmond, Virginia writes, please ask Julie Rovner to remind us what members of Congress have in the way of health care coverage and whether anything they do would actually affect their coverage and that of congressional staffers. Would President Trump and the White House staff, cabinet members, etc., be affected?
last question is no. Interestingly, when the Affordable Care Act was going through, the Republicans kind of shamed the Democrats into requiring members of Congress and their staffs to be on the exchanges, which they are. So actually, members of Congress and their staffs have Obamacare, which most people don't know is, you know, this sort of big PR thing. But everybody assumes they have the regular federal health insurance, and they don't. Congress and their staffs have Obamacare. They could not change it in this bill because of the constraints of the budget process that they're using. So when this came to light, there was a huge brouhaha in the House saying, oh, you know, that the Republicans are changing health care, but not for themselves. Well, they couldn't because of the way the bill is put together, although the House then tried to pass a separate bill to do that.
We're low on time. Give us a sense of what might be happening next. They're still doing the debate before the Votorama kicks off. What are some of the amendments that seem to be bubbling up to the top in terms of what might stick to the big bill?
Well, one of the things that we're actually expecting is a small bill, is that the only thing they might be able to pass is what's called a skinny bill. This would be, they would get rid of the mandates, both the requirement for individuals and for employers to provide insurance, a couple of the taxes like the medical device tax, and a big chunk of money for preventive health. And that would be all. And the idea would be then to get into conference with the House. This was not the original idea. They didn't want to go to conference with the House. The idea was whatever the Senate could pass, the House would then pass, and they would be finished, because actually going to a House Senate conference could take weeks or months.
Julie Rovner is a senior correspondent with Kaiser Health News and the author of Healthcare Policy and Politics A to Z. Julie, thank you as always for walking us through this.
My pleasure.
Time for a break. When we come back, we will talk about book sharing. It's healthier than ever. We will speak to the founder of Little Free Libraries about the power books still have to bring communities together. I'm Joshua Johnson. Glad to be with you. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.